The following program was recorded on October the 13th, 2014.
Welcome to Baltimore Internet Radio. I'm Dave Custy, your host for Arts, Music, and Culture. On today's program, my guests are Joe Hudson and Tom Wingate of Engineered Fear Productions, a haunted attractions production company that consists of actors, designers, and artists who have all been working together for the last 10 years in the Halloween industry. The production company was formed in order to open up a haunted attraction in October of 2015 in Baltimore City. Joe Hudson has managed haunted attractions for more than 10 years, designing and building events from the ground up. He also works as a mechanical engineer at an aerospace engineering firm, but his true passion is all things Halloween. He has researched and toured many of the largest haunted attractions in the nation. More importantly, he has cultivated a network of extremely talented and creative haunt industry specialists. Tom Wingate has over 9 years of experience working and managing haunted attractions with Hudson, and over 4 years working as an archaeologist. He has traveled extensively with Hudson to evaluate other haunts around the U.S., including the annual Haunted Attraction Convention for the last 3 years. Wingate graduated from the University of Maryland in 2008 with an anthropology degree. Over the years, both Tom and Joe have been fortunate enough to work with some of the most skilled and dedicated actors and makeup artists in the industry. They plan to bring a wealth of industry knowledge as well as a close-knit and talented staff together to form Baltimore City's first haunted attraction in October of 2015. Welcome to Baltimore Internet Radio, fellas.
Thanks for having us.
Well, give us a little info on yourself, a little bio for you, Tom.
Okay. Well, I first met Joe when we were at University of Maryland. I met him through a friend by chance in a Wawa one evening. And
as you do.
He told me that... He told me that he could pay me to be a zombie, which sounded awesome. So I got as many of my friends together as were willing, and we all signed up and went out to work with Joe. And that was a really exciting experience and something that I'd never realized was a job until that day. Mm-hmm. And
well, let's go back a little farther. How did you get into anthropology?
Oh, actually, I got into anthropology while attending community college at Prince George's Community College. And I actually grew up in Carroll County. And if you're familiar with the area, Carroll County is a very white suburban area, and Prince George's County is not. I think that noticing those differences sort of got me interested in, you know, how people from such two very close geographic locations, how there could be such a dynamic difference mm-hmm. in cultural attitudes and you know, music and dress and all that sort of stuff. So it was a really good experience going to school there. And when I was there, I took my first anthropology course and decided that's where I wanted to go with my life. So
So we're recording this on October the 13th, 2014, and you've just told us that you started a new job today.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Well, my job, I jump around from company to company a lot. So it's kind of a run-of-the-mill for me to move jobs, unlike most people. But I just started a new project today that's going to be an archaeological investigation on a prehistoric village site near Yorktown, Virginia.
Cool.
So I'm excited about that.
That's a whole other show we got to do.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a whole bunch of new stuff that I haven't done before, so pretty excited about that as well.
Very good. All right, your turn, Joe.
I'm an engineer. I've always liked to build things, create things, tinker. Take things apart, put them back together. That's how I kind of got into engineering way back. And the Halloween thing kind of started as a hobby. But once I realized you could build, tinker, create as a part of scaring people, kind of got me into the design aspects behind the scenes. Had a lot more fun, you know, in the 11 months leading up to October, building, designing, planning, inventing new ways of you know, messing with people. And, you know, then I did actually, you know, run around in October. So always been a passion of mine. You know, it's been a goal for a long time to run our own haunt. So very excited about next year branching out on our own and bringing something to Baltimore that's unique and something that Baltimore really doesn't have right now.
Great. So, Tom, they ask you to be a zombie. Mm-hmm. Did you have any kind of predilection to be any kind of haunted industry character before?
No, I always loved Halloween. Mm-hmm. It was always my favorite holiday. And I've always been a really big horror movie fan, so it was kind of a natural fit.
Progression for you.
A side job while I was in college. So no, other than being a huge Romero fan, probably not. But
so tell us about how the Engineered Fear Productions came about.
So
anyone?
Yeah.
It really came about as just way back. I wasn't happy with the props that we were buying. We were paying a lot of money for what I didn't think was, you know, very realistic. So I started messing around in the basement with how can I make this better? How can I make it more realistic and cheaper on a you know, do more with a smaller budget? You know, other people at the haunted house I was working at came out and said, "Wow, you know, where'd you get that? How much did you, you know, how much did that prop cost you?" Said, "I made it, you know, some liquid latex and paper towels and some anatomical skeletons, and you know, it was a quarter of the price that we pay for everything else." And the next thing I knew, I was making all of the props by hand, doing everything ourselves, getting other artist friends involved, and it just kind of seemed like a natural thing to, you know, make more than just what we need for the haunted houses. So started making and selling props on the side. And then that kind of came back around to using the company to start a haunted house. About 4 years ago, we worked at an event just south of D.C., created an event from scratch, and it was the first time that we had created something from nothing, and the entire staff really took ownership in that event and felt a lot of pride in what we'd created. We'd sit around after the show every night and, you know, talk about what we did, what we could do better, how to tweak things, we got a lot of great customer feedback from that. You know, and it was after that season that I realized this is what I want to do. This is what we need, and looking to get back to that, to create an event, you know, that everybody feels a part of, that we can be proud of.
So you wanted to do big time on your own, is almost full time and such. I mean, toward that end, what happened next? What did you do next to go toward that goal?
Since then, Tom and I have been looking for properties around Baltimore to, you know, to host this. Started kind of casually looking, exploring options, and really about a year ago, we started putting contracts on buildings and really doing the due diligence on it. And now here we are with this property.
So tell us about the property.
It's located in Old Town Mall. It's a 40,000 square foot historic department store. It's the perfect location for a haunted house. Tom and I fell in love with the building as soon as I saw it. You know, it's good old Baltimore construction, solid walls, high ceilings, just a massive open floor plan. You know, from a design perspective, you couldn't ask for anything better when doing a haunted house. And the mall lends itself very well to this type of event. Public parking nearby, over 400 spots. Part of our plan is also to run chartered buses back and forth between the haunted house and nearby popular destinations like Fells Point, Canton, the Inner Harbor. And there's a perfect side street to, you know, drop people off, line them back up next to the building, and bus people back to, you know, where they came from. So we're excited about people being able to make this a part of their night out, you know, go out to dinner, catch the bus, come see the event, and then, you know, go back, have a drink, or continue your night out in Baltimore.
The location is the Old Town Mall. I have to say it's not the greatest area around here. How will you address that?
I mean, security is a concern with every haunted house. Every haunted house across the country has off-duty officers that they hire to be on site during their hours of operation. And this event will be no different. So we'll have, you know, it's in the budget for to have off-duty Baltimore PD on site. And additional lighting for the parking areas, security staff on top of the Baltimore PD that are there. And I mean, that's standard for any event where, you know, whether you're on a farm an hour from the city or in the heart of the city, you have to have a security plan.
Sure. They'll be there an hour or two after the show is over and such like that. So they'll be until the last person is gone.
Yeah. 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 No, of course.
Okay. It's, you know, that sounds good. And of course, that's being developed also. So how you're going to implement all that and such like that. But it is something because we have to, you know, address that elephant in the room. That is something that people are being concerned about because most people that have lived here for a good period of time will know, okay, well, the Old Town Mall used to be a great area, but you're asking me, it's been abandoned for so long.
Actual crime stats for the area aren't actually that terrible either. If you actually look at that block, like, it looks really intimidating, but it's really, like, if you look at the actual numbers, like, how much crime actually goes on there, like, it's really not as bad as it seems like it might be, you know?
A lot of the programs that I do are kind of based on creating a business plan for this to come to fruition. In terms of your business plan or anything, where are you right now? You've got the building, right? And it's mostly a shell, right?
Yep.
So you've got plans to renovate the internal part of it. And tell us, just in terms of a little bit of a timeline, where do you think you'll be in 3 months, 6 months, and that kind of stuff?
So right now we're fundraising. We're running a Kickstarter campaign to raise $50,000 to help with props and makeup, special effects, everything inside the haunt. As far as the construction goes, we have a construction loan to redo all the utilities for the building. This winter will be construction, renovations, and then in the springtime we hope to actually start building the scenes and decorating and laying all that out.
And so throughout this time, creativity part is burgeoning in there. You've got ideas for this, and you throw some away in a couple months and add new ones and that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah. Usually the problem is there's too many ideas.
I figured as much as being polite.
We have to sit down and say, all right, we can only do 20 scenes, so which of these are going to make the cut or not?
Yeah, I think coming up with scenes is not a difficult part of the process for us because we have a lot of ideas, and we know that 50% of them will never happen, but...
But that's better than having a dearth of them, you know? You've got a Kickstarter plan right now going on. How long does that go to?
That runs through till November 15th.
So after that, not to be the devil's advocate, but what if you don't get up the whole 50 grand?
That's all right. We still have the construction.
Plan B?
Yeah.
All right. Good. From outer space? sorry. Couldn't resist.
Now, if this Kickstarter... This Kickstarter was put together in a bit of a rush to hit the Halloween season. Figured that would be the best time for fundraising. If it is not successful, we'll be running another one in March with our lessons learned from this time around.
You've got a core of people already signed on and such like that. And so what kind of other response have you gotten from ancillary type of people and such?
I mean, I've gotten mostly very positive responses from potential staff members and other people that we've worked with in the past. Everyone's pretty excited about it. And I think that the theme and the location are particular things that people are interested in because most times when you go to a haunted house, it's in the middle of the woods, you know, 2 hours away from where you live, and it's kind of a hassle to get out there. And I'll talk to a lot of people in the city that are really excited to have something that they might be able to catch a bus to, or they might be able to walk to, that isn't going to have to be, you know, an ordeal. And then we're trying to do something that's not typical sort of kitschy Halloween stuff. So I think people are excited about that as well. Because every time we start talking about it to people and we start talking about, you know, our theme ideas and the kind of scenes we want to put together, I think they get pretty excited about it. And that's mostly my experience.
We also have a core group of actors, makeup artists, and prop makers that we've been working with over the last 10 years. Obviously, all these people are very excited about being involved. But since we've kicked off the marketing campaign, we've actually had a lot of new staff members and even a few staff members that worked with us in the past and heard about what we're doing and are excited about coming out as well. So neither zombie actors nor scenes are much of a problem.
Yeah.
Very good. I mean, it's always great that artists get work.
Yeah.
Because there's tons of them out there that aren't working, but something like this is like new and innovative. What about the government agencies? I'm talking about like the Office of Promotion in the Arts and things like that. Are they on board, or has it gone that far yet, or are you still in kind of the infancy stages of that?
We've pitched this to the Baltimore Development Corporation.
Oh, very good.
They're very excited about the project. Obviously, Old Town Mall is on their list of areas that they want to revitalize, and we hope that our plans for the building can help them with their goals for the mall.
How long has it been empty?
20 years, I think.
Yeah, it's been a while. I think
in the
going
80s
up there.
It went out
I think I went up there then, and it was empty. Yeah. So that's great. I mean, you tick that box, not to be disingenuous, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And it is a good area. You said you were looking all over the place for it, and you found, oh, this is good a little bit, and this is good a little bit here and that. But here you found a place in open space, 40,000 square feet, which you can do and build on and such. And are you going to have areas? I just thought of this. Areas that you can move and shape around, not just, you know what I'm saying? You can move this wall and then for this one that's coming in November, it's going to be a larger space upstairs for this and a smaller space. You have this kind of ideas. Just making sure.
Yeah. I mean, the longer term goal is definitely to, expand the haunted house upwards, and keep the first floor as open as possible for event space, for other theatrical events. I'd love to, do some black box type theater things on the first floor. It's so much space. It'd be a shame to let it sit for 11 months.
Well, that's what I was
going
to ask, too, if you were going to have any kind of other industries, a black box space. I mean, they have maybe the requisite cafe or something like that. I mean, it'd be great to have, too, waiting for the stuff to have it and open things. But what I want to talk to you about, too, is the potential of technological collaborations and what it can do. I mean, nowadays, I have a couple shows where people are saying, the legitimate theater is the last holdout for technology, and now it's coming, not of age, but it's coming a little bit progressing. I think that you would address that, too, in terms of that, because it would be neat to have something in your place and something else going on in Latvia or something at the same time that people can come there and see, hey, this is what they're doing there. And to have a kind of a real thing, too, because there were places when I was in Liverpool, places where they had actual people scaring you, and they were like 10 miles away or something like that, mm-hmm. So something like that. I'm just throwing things out of there. But are these things that you consider, too?
Yeah. In the industry, there's a lot of not new technologies, but new to the haunted house industry. That are starting to make their way. There's a lot of software getting into it, more advanced props that are a little more sophisticated than just your something pops out of a corner and retracts, and it's just a pressure sensor or something. There's a couple companies that are making much more advanced stuff that computer controlled, laptop controlled, and also taking pictures of people, feeding them to Facebook so that before you get home, there's already a picture of you on Facebook getting scared.
And that's great.
You can tag yourself. I mean, we go to the Haunted Attraction Convention every year in March.
I love the idea that there's one of those.
Yeah.
I just love the wording, the Halloween industry. Yes, we're part of the Halloween industry. Thank you.
Yeah, everybody always gives me a funny look when I say yes.
Well,
there is.
Never heard. I'm so glad it's around.
There is a convention, and there are seminars where people sit there and with a straight face teach you how to scare people.
Wow. Well, I guess you got to, because like you said, it's not the 50s anymore. You can't just jump out because then you won't get people here because you won't. Okay, we can do that in our backyard.
Yeah.
So now you got to do be more sophisticated. Use all the modern technology. But I think it's just got such a terrific potential.
Yes.
And you're going to be open all year round.
Well, no, we're just targeting the month of October.
Oh, really? So you're just going to be on that month? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the other 11 months, we're going to be looking for other potential uses. Mm-hmm.
For the space,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Black Box Theater. I mean, it's most of the major haunted attractions across the country. I mean, there are a few in Orlando, Vegas, New York City that are open all year round.
Okay.
Most of them don't have live actors, and the majority of the professional haunted attractions across the country are October 1st to October 31st, or a week before and after that. But
so you, of course, you have this all in your plan to make it viable and to be open then. 1 month.
Oh. Yeah, there are a lot of large attractions that shut down, you know, just after October, and they immediately begin tearing down sets, revamping, planning, and getting ready for the next Halloween.
I know it might encourage more development around the area too, I would think.
Yeah, I think just getting people out to Old Town and showing that it is a viable space for business could go a long way, because right now a lot of people look at that neighborhood and see nothing. They see, you know what I mean? So I think if we can get some people in there during October and we can clean up that building and, you know, make a nice event, I think it'll prove to a lot of people that are doubtful that, you know, opportunities for businesses in areas like that. Because everyone, when they talk about development in Baltimore, talks about the harbor. You know, every time everyone comes in, they want a big new development down by the water. I was just reading the other day, they want to do something down just a little bit east of Harbor East, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's great and all, I guess, but we have lots of other really great, you know, parts of the city, and in my opinion, really beautiful parts of the city that could really use some development like Old Town.
Your first major thing there will be next October, right?
Mm-hmm.
In terms of getting sponsors, how do you go about that? Do you have a little, like a touring company or anything like that that comes around? How do you manage that?
I mean, as a local business, we're going to be looking for sponsorship deals with other local businesses, mm-hmm. More so to just help out other small businesses and promote the community, support, you know, especially that neighborhood there, you know, do what we can, cross sponsorship deals, but then getting corporate sponsorship from large companies that probably wouldn't be very interested in a haunted house anyway.
How do you see yourself 5 years down the line?
Well, the goal is every year to
continue. What does Tom say?
Sorry. Sorry, Joe's way more
it's all right.
Versed in this. I think he talks about it more than I do. I think he does this.
Well, I just want to get different opinions from the top guys here.
Come on. No, but in 5 years, hopefully we have a haunted house that takes up 40,000 square foot of the warehouse, and maybe Old Town's looking a little nicer than it is right now. Mm-hmm. And
sustainability.
Yeah, hopefully we're pulling a profit enough that we can continue expanding. Because mm-hmm. Like Joe was saying earlier, you know, we're only going to be able to open so much of the space up next year, and the hope is that we can, you know, turn any profit we make at all, turn it back around into building renovations and improving that area. So 5 years, hopefully, we're looking at the entire building being renovated and maybe people not having such a negative opinion of coming down to Old Town.
Right.
So
we're having other stuff around there.
And hopefully, there'll be some interest in the other properties on the block. So,
okay, Joe, you can talk.
No, that was good. Yeah, my standard boilerplate is, you know, we reinvest profits back into the building and, you know, expand the haunt floor by floor until the haunt takes up all four floors and you walk in, climb your way to the top, and then spiral down and hopefully make it out.
Where is this conference held every year?
The convention?
Yeah,
St. Louis.
St. Louis?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
It's a nice town.
Yeah. Maybe we can get something here. Who knows?
Yeah.
Mid-Atlantic type of thing or something.
They have regional conventions that are much smaller than the one in St. Louis. The St. Louis one's kind of like the big... The big convention, so. But I think there's a regional convention.
You could do one on a smaller basis, I mean, because they just had the Mid-Atlantic Nostalgia Convention up in Hunt Valley just a few weeks ago. And they had all these 60 stars and people, you know, you haven't seen for a while, but like they had a picture of all the Star Trek chanteuses, the ones that, you know, bewitched Jim Kirk and all like that. And it was really great kind of stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
You know, you could get, you know, I think it would be very popular if you could try it like that. I mean, that's a whole new different thing, but I'm mm-hmm. just thinking in terms of promoting yourselves too, you know, that and getting the word out there, which I hope to do. Because what I say here is there's not just a one-off, it's a continuous thing. So you'll have the what they call the anchor, the link that you can use here, and you come back and update and that kind of stuff like that. So because you know, these things got to build and build and build and stuff like that. So,
I mean, I definitely think there could be a market for a convention like that. I mean, the Otakon convention
is
very popular.
It is.
You know, I think there's definitely a market for Halloween, you know, type stuff in the Baltimore area.
So is there anything else you'd like to add at this juncture?
Tom, this is all you.
I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
Covered most of the main talking points. Great. Any questions? Any other questions for us about?
Well, not at this time. I wish you good luck with the Kickstarter thing, and I hope you know what we want to do is to keep it open, you know, to keep it focused,
yeah,
you know, like that, because it's a terrific idea, and like this month is where you're really going to just keep pushing like that. So,
yeah,
hopefully I can help with that and be a CAC, but you know, there's no free lunch, pal. You know?
Understood.
Yeah. So, just warning you, I got people out there. So give us some contact info.
So the website is engineeredfearproductions.com. And then you can also find us on Facebook at Engineered Fear Productions as well.
And Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And Instagram, I think, too, right?
Yes. Yeah. Twitter, I think, is just Engineered Fear.
Yeah, Engineered Fear is the Twitter handle.
Let us know how you're doing and, you know,
Love to come back once we get into the final cuts for which scenes are going to make it and not. And
that'd be great.
Talking through the real exciting stuff with you.
Okay, well, thanks, guys. I appreciate you guys coming on there. And I've been talking to Joe Hudson and Tom Wingate of Engineer Fear Productions, a haunted attractions production company that consists of actors, designers, and artists who have all been working together for the last 10 years in one of my favorite phrases, the Halloween industry. Yes, sir. I love it. They've just got a building, and they're going to open up a wonderful haunted house this time next year, October 2015, in Baltimore City, as part of the redevelopment. This is Dave Custy, and this has been Arts, Music, and Culture. See you guys.